Appreciate the good song. God is so faithful to his children. I'm thankful for that. Appreciate her sharing that with us today. I was thinking just a couple days ago, just a few days back, just shortly before I left for Virginia, these thoughts came to my heart, and I know that the, the end of the year is swiftly coming up on us, and I want to tell the church here today again at Fairview Memorial how much that I love you, and I was thinking that I guess that my health will take a hit, because my heart will still be here, and you all will be so much in my prayers. I'm thankful that I have the privilege before me today to baptize someone else into the fellowship of Fairview Memorial. I'm so glad that Sam got saved. I'm thankful that I got to be there and witness that when it happened. He was so bright. It was such a beautiful thing to witness, and I'm thankful for the opportunity here today. And last week, we observed the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and I spoke about that ordinance, and today we're going to observe and administer the ordinance of baptism, and I'm going to speak a little bit about that. We were actually originally going to be doing this last week, and there were some circumstances that prevented that, so we're going to do this today, and I'm going to talk for just a little bit, and I realize that we need to have the baptism, so I'll try to move along here as well as I can, but I do want to talk some about this ordinance. You know, the Lord, as far as I'm concerned, from the teachings of the Scriptures, and I know that most Missionary Baptist churches believe this. I know that we believe this here at Fairview Memorial, but I'm convinced of this myself from the teachings of the Scriptures, that the Lord left his church with the ordinance of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And that was it, those two ordinances. And they are all that are necessary to symbolize the facts of the gospel. Those two ordinances are all that are needed to symbolize death, burial, and resurrection. And they are symbolic in their nature. I want to read from Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26, if you want to turn there and read with me. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, we're going to read the account of Philip going to Gaza, and his encounter with the man there, the eunuch from Ethiopia. There had been a lot that in the Acts of the Apostles up to this point, there had been great spiritual activity in Jerusalem. They had encountered what they had encountered there at Pentecost. We read about what we're told in the fourth chapter of Acts about how that they sold their possessions and had everything in a common treasury. There was a lot going on in Jerusalem to be witnessed. And to be honest with you, I don't know how long this man had been in Jerusalem. I don't know how much time he had spent there. I'm certainly persuaded to believe that the trip that he had taken, the distance that he had gone, and the means of travel that he had to get there, that he didn't go there and turn around and leave the next day. I'm sure he had spent some time there. But it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. What you and I know today as Isaiah 53. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And that's reading through the end of that 8th chapter, verse 40 of the Acts of the Apostles. And I want to talk for just a little while about having a proper understanding. I spoke last week somewhat about properly understanding what the ordinance of the Lord's Supper is about, what it is that that ordinance represents, what it symbolizes. And I want to speak for just a few moments today concerning having a proper understanding of baptism. And I want Brother Sam to know today as he is baptized into the fellowship of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church what this means today. Water baptism is very important. And I know that there have been many, and there still are many today, that misunderstand its significance. They have a great misunderstanding, oftentimes to their own spiritual detriment, about what it's really for. And I want to try to speak about that today. This man, this eunuch that we're reading about, obviously, and I don't know what had happened to the best of my knowledge. We're not told anywhere in the scriptures what exactly had transpired, but obviously he had heard of water baptism, or he had witnessed it somewhere. We do know that he had some understanding about the ordinance. He knew that baptism was something that required water. He knew, obviously, that it was something that was done by taking somebody into water and putting them underwater, because he asked Philip that question. He said, Well, he made the statement. He said, here is water. And then he asked the question, what does hinder me to be baptized? And we may think about it in this way of him saying, Philip, there's water here. Is there some reason why that I would not be able to be baptized? And we know the response that Philip gave to him, and I want to speak some about that. But I want to make just these four statements about this ordinance that I believe to be scripturally true, and I believe to be very important. And the first is that I don't believe that baptism is valid unless it's administered by the organization that was given the authority to administer baptism. And that's the Lord's church. And we read in the 28th chapter of Matthew, in the gospel according to Matthew, the commission given to the church to go into all the world and make disciples and to baptize those who were believers. And so this was something that was left to the Lord's church to tend to. I believe that it has to be, in order to be valid and in order to be scriptural, I believe it has to be administered by a proper administrator. And I'm just going to tell you this today, just very plainly, I just don't believe this stuff about it being okay to just have whoever you want to baptize you. I believe the Bible gives us the guidelines. I believe it shows us plainly that an ordained elder was to administer that ordinance of baptism. You're not supposed to just have your mother or somebody baptize you. There's a way that the Lord taught us in His Word for this to be done. I believe it has to be administered to a qualified candidate in order for it to be valid, in order for it to be scriptural. You have to have a proper candidate. You have to have somebody that can bring forth evidence of having been saved by God's grace. Just as John the Baptist said to the Pharisees and Sadducees that came to his baptism, as he said to them, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Bring forth some evidence of your repentance. Bring forth evidence. And I believe also that in order to for baptism to be scriptural and to be proper, that it has to be carried out by the proper mode. The person being baptized has to be buried under the water in order for it to be scriptural baptism. And so I want to say this today, that obviously this man had some understanding and had some encounter somehow with the ordinance of baptism, because he did know enough to know that it was something that had to be done in water, but he evidently did not know with certainty what was required in order for him to be able to be baptized. And, I'm thankful for people like Philip. I mean, you know what? It was a great blessing to this eunuch that Philip was there. It was a great blessing to this man that when he asked this question, what does hinder me? You know, here's the water, it's available. What does hinder me to be baptized? That he was asking somebody that understood what to tell him to answer the question properly. Because there are a lot of people today that if somebody were to ask them, well, here's some water, is there anything that stops me from being baptized? There's a lot of people in the world today, and even those today who claim to be ministers, that would tell them, no, there's nothing preventing that. If you want to be baptized, we'll just baptize you. And there's some that even would baptize them and tell them that because they had had that done, that everything was well with their soul, and send them off just as deceived in their soul as they could be. That's happened a lot of times to a lot of people, and it continues to happen. And I want to tell you something today, that baptism, water baptism, does not remit our sins. Water baptism does not literally wash away our sins. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful enough to wash away our sins. What can wash away my sins? What? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is symbolic of that. It is symbolic of the washing away of sins, but it does not literally accomplish that. Listen, if there's anybody here today that misunderstands this, I want you to know this. I want Sam to know this. I want his family to know this. I want everybody to know this, that he is not going to go in the waters of baptism today to become a child of God. God already took care of that. God took care of that out at the retreat that we had a few weeks ago when he obeyed the Lord's command to repent and trusted in Jesus Christ. And he professed there that night. I mean, he knew that night that something had already happened to him. He professed that there that night. And so he's not being baptized today to become a child of God. Listen, if for some reason we were not able to do this, he has received already everything he needs to go to heaven when life is over. You know, I'll tell you what, when I got saved, I'll be honest with you, when the Lord saved me, there was a lot that I didn't know. I mean, there was a lot of things that I didn't know about. There was a lot of things about the Bible that I didn't know nearly as much about as I should have. But I can tell you what, when I got saved, I knew that I didn't need somebody to put me in water to get me into heaven. I knew that God had taken care of that. And I'm thankful that it is that way, because salvation's of the Lord. It's His work. It's all His work. We don't have to have the works of men in order for somebody to get saved. It's the work of the Lord. Salvation is of God's operation upon our hearts. But He uses His church to carry out these ordinances. And I know that you've heard this many times. I know you've heard it expressed this way. I'll just go ahead and say it so you can hear it again. Listen, if you go into the water, a lost sinner, the only change it'll make in you is you'll go in a dry lost sinner and you'll come out a wet lost sinner. That's it. That's all it'll do. It cannot change the soul. It cannot change the condition of the heart. It was never meant for that purpose. It is an initiatory rite. It must be administered. Listen, baptism in water, a burial in water, and being brought up out of water, the administration of the ordinance of baptism must be administered in order for anybody to be a member of the Lord's church. It must be administered. And that was the purpose for it. I believe it, well, no, let me say this. I'm convinced of believers' baptism. Believers' baptism. Not being baptized to become a believer, but being baptized because you are a believer. And that's what this man was told, and that's how Philip answered the question. Here's water, Philip. What hinders me to be baptized? What is required for me to be baptized? And Philip said, you've got to be a believer. You've got to be a believer. If you believe, how? With all your heart. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And his profession was that he did. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down, listen, they went down both into the water. He didn't stand under it, did he? He went into the water. The scriptures tell us that when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, that he came up immediately, he came up out of the water. You know what that means? He was in the water. It wasn't just being dropped on him. He was in the water. Baptism is immersion in water. And if it's not done that way, it's not scriptural. It's not proper. It must be done that way in order to symbolize what it was intended to symbolize, and that is a burial. To symbolize that the old man of sin has died. And to be brought up to symbolize that there's going to be a change in the way that that person lives. They're going to walk now in a different way. They're going to live in a different way. They're going to walk in newness of life and live for the Lord. So many people today that misunderstand what this means. And as I said, many have done that to the destruction and the detriment of their own spiritual well-being. I'm going to say this today. If there's anybody here in this congregation that is relying upon nothing but water baptism that you received somewhere along the way to get you into heaven, you better be seeking the Lord until you have more than that. You better be seeking the Lord until He saves you and until He touches you and lets you know that you've been saved. And then, when that happens, and only then you can become a candidate for proper baptism. But that's the only way that it can be done. And I'm not going to take any more time. I'm going to go ahead and ask Brother Sam if he would to come. And as we go back, I am going to say this. I'm going to ask for your patience today because usually we don't. But the water situation being what it is, we're going to change before we come back out. And so please just continue to sing while we go back here and get ready, and until we come back out to shake hands with him. So.